Well, we finished our last study, Marked By, and now we're going to kind of piggyback off that and continue talking about love, but in a little bit of a different way. And we're going to be in Mark 12 for our primary passage today. But if you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, I know that this is really dim, and so you might not be able to see it. You can turn to 1 John 4. We're going to connect the previous study to this study before we get into our main passage today. Yesterday, my family had the opportunity to go to our first Indianapolis Indians game. Being a big baseball fan, I was kind of excited to go and check out the Indians and see what it was like to go down to a minor league baseball game. This is actually the first minor league team I've ever watched play. And it was really interesting. I'm a people watcher. I really enjoy watching people. And so just to look around during the game, to walk around during the game, and to observe is kind of enjoyable for me. And I don't know if that makes me an old man or what, but I just enjoy it. And I noticed some things while I was there. And I noticed some things that were lacking while I was there. I noticed that there was a lot of allegiances, a lot of alliances that were represented. I was thinking this morning about all the different team hats I saw represented. We went with a Rossville baseball team, a young team, and so we had Rossville hats there. I saw Boston Red Sox hats there. I saw lots of Cubs hats there. I saw Cleveland Indians hats there. Detroit Tigers hats, because I was wearing one and I went to the bathroom and looked in the mirror, so I saw it. I saw St. Louis, just you name the team, I saw even a Blue Jays hat. I'm not sure if you can be an American and be a Blue Jays fan or not, but there was maybe a Canadian there that was a Blue Jays fan. And I did actually see a few Indianapolis Indians hats also. A few. Not a lot. A few. I saw just as many pro baseball team hats as I did Indians hats. And I was thinking, where's the dedication? Is there anybody who is all in for this team? Is there anybody who is sold out for the Indians? And as I looked around during the game, I didn't see one. I saw a lot of divided allegiances. They'd have an Indian shirt on and a Cubs hat on. And I believe the Indians are the Pirates minor league team, not the Cubs minor league team. So divided allegiance there. And so I saw a lot of that. And I did actually see a few people that had an Indians hat on and an Indians jersey on. But I could tell that they weren't totally dedicated to their team, because they were willing to spend 20 minutes in line for ice cream instead of watch the game. Or 10 minutes waiting for a Uncle Ben's pretzel, which is delicious, by the way. But there was lots of people standing in line. The lines never died out, ever, at any concession stand. The lines never died out in the bathroom. When you go to a major league team, you can actually walk up to the concessions at many moments during the game, and there'll be no one there, because they're there to watch the game. They're dedicated to their team. They want to see every inning, every score, every hit, every pitch, and they're on the edge of their seats watching this. You always find one or two people that has a scorebook out, and they're writing down every pitch, and they're analyzing the game. I did not see this last night anywhere. I spent a lot of time running and getting food for my kids, and so I spent a lot of time watching and observing the long lines at the concession stand, but I didn't see anyone who was all in. What about us? What about our love for God? I wonder if Sunday is like this for many of us. We may put the right clothes on. We may come to the right attended service, and we may stand up at the appropriate times and cheer at the appropriate times singing songs. But are we all in for God? Do we love God with everything that we have? We're going to get to that this week, and we're going to spend the next actually 5 weeks talking about this. We'll spend 4 weeks talking about one particular passage. But I want to start here in 1 John and connect this passage to this previous study to this study as we get into this. 1 John 4, verses 19 through 21 as we begin. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother he has seen cannot love God he has not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us, and then goes to talk about two different types of love. The previous love that we had just talked about, the love for others, and the love we are headed into, the love for God. We can only love because he first loved us. We've spent 7 weeks talking about and hopefully being challenged by and hopefully looking at our life and going, what is my love like for others? Now, the next 5 weeks, what is my love like for God? Let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be honest. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to just open up our lives and our hearts to you, to really seek you during the study and say, God, do I really love you? Do I love you like you've called me to? Am I all in, Lord? Lord, convict us, challenge us. Holy Spirit, change us. Lord, that we will not leave the same. That each and every one of us will grow in you. And Lord, that our love will grow for you. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Do I love God? Or do I love the idea of loving God? Do I love the hope of heaven, the freedom of salvation, the feeling of grace? Do I love God? On May 30th this year, we had the opportunity as a family to go to Cedar Point. Rachel and I are big roller coaster fans. We enjoy them. You could say that we love them. You could say that. When we were discussing about our family and how many kids we wanted to have, this actually became part of the discussion. We want to make sure that everyone has someone to ride with when we go to Cedar Point. You can't stop at an uneven number. You have to have an even number. So, I know, you may think that's weird. We like them. We really love roller coasters. And so we started talking to our kids about going to Cedar Point because we finally have two that are at the right height to actually ride every ride there. And so we were very excited about going to Cedar Point for the first time with our kids. And they were very excited about it. They were thrilled about the idea of these huge roller coasters that they could go on for the first time. And two of them weren't tall enough to go on everything. That'd be Parker and Nola. And so we told them, you know, you're going to be able to ride rides, but you can't ride the really big roller coasters. But Nana and Papa are going to come along, and they're going to take you to the other rides. We didn't just leave them at the park and have fun. You know, like, we had someone with them. And Nana and Papa don't like rides anymore, so they were okay with it. But it was interesting because there was some big ideas. Because the tradition of the family, or the love of the parents that we have for rides, our kids were very excited about it, and they had big plans of what they were going to love about Cedar Point, and they were passionate about going to Cedar Point for the first time. And then we got there, and reality set in. And one of them didn't want to ride anything. And it was okay because that child, I'm not going to single them out, wasn't at the point where they could write everything anyway. So you got it down to two. The other two that could ride everything, we had one that was all in and like, man, I can't wait to ride these. And another one that was like, I don't know. That's really big. And that flips upside down. And is that really secure? And we get in line and we'd start getting closer and we'd wait 10, 15 minutes into the line and he would go, Daddy, I don't think I want to ride this. Mommy, I don't think I want to ride this. And we would have to lay down the law. You're going to ride. It's happening. Man up. Ride the ride. And afterwards, it was funny because he'd go, Daddy, I'm not going to open my eyes the whole ride. Like, that's okay. He's riding with me. And it was fine. And I said, keep your eyes shut. That's fine. And he'd ride the whole ride. And then afterwards, he would go, that was awesome. Thank you for making me ride the ride. I loved it. And he did that for like three or four rides. We'd go up and go, I don't know if I want to ride this one. And we'd say, remember what happened last ride? But he grew in a love in the end, but his love at the beginning was based off of family tradition and based off a command that I gave him as, you're going to ride this ride. One had no love whatsoever for it. One loved it and couldn't ride anything because she was way too small. Now you narrowed it down to one. And the other one, he was all in. As I was studying this week and started going through this, and I was wondering if that's where we're at in our love for God. Some of us have a love for God that we'd say, I love God, but it's based off of a family tradition. It's based off of a command that you followed most of your life because you were taught that as a child. But it's never become a personal love for God. You've never made a personal stance, a personal step of faith. Some of you have. And some of us have said, man, I love God and we're all in. And others are at that point where they're just unsure. They don't love God, but they're along for the ride. When I was studying, I came across a passage in Isaiah, and I just want to read it for you. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. And it says, the Lord said, these people approach me with their speeches to honor me with their lip service. Yet their hearts are far from me. And human rules dictate their worship of me. Is our relationship with God based off of a real relationship and passionate personal love for God? Or is it based off of tradition, human rules, lip service in our life? That was a challenge. As I read that passage and I thought about myself, and I could say honestly, there's times in my life growing up where my life was based off and my love was based off and my really became lip service towards God. Worship towards God was based off of tradition or based off of how I was raised and not based off of personal love and passion for God. But some stay there. Some never develop into a passionate love for God. And then others do, but they never quite get all in. It's like the divided allegiance of the Indians game. They may wear the God hat, but the shirt says, my job, my family, my responsibilities, my time, my money, and a divided allegiance. In Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through verse 34, And we're going to be in this passage each week, and we'll read it each week. And so it'll become like the John passage we read for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you'll hopefully come to memorize it and know it well. We have a scribe that approaches Christ. And one thing you got to know about the scribes, it's really interesting. The scribes were professional groups of Judean leaders or leaders in Judaism. And what they did is they would copy the law of Moses. They would interpret the law of Moses to people. They would, in times of legal cases or wanting to know the law of what God says you should do, they would be the ones that people would go to and say, okay, now what does this law mean? How is this law lived out? Am I wrong or are they wrong according to the Mosaic law? Where are we at in this? And they knew the law very, very well. And so this scribe came to Christ with a question. And what you have to know going in is that the scribes had identified 613 separate commands that were given in the Old Testament. 613 separate commands. They had actually broken these down even further into 365 negative or do not commands and 248 positive or do commands. They had then broke these down even further and divided them into heavy commands and light commands, or these are the most important commands and these are the least important commands. And so out of 613 separate commands that they had, we have this conversation that begins between the scribe and Christ. And what you'll notice as we get into this, that he didn't come with trickery. He didn't come with hostility, but he came with a question. Can you imagine the confusion of all the commands and all the breakdown of people coming and asking you, and their command at that very moment is the most important command, and you've really got to pour into that and know, okay, this is so important to this person. I wonder what those commands were. That somebody would come to them and say, you know, focus on my command. Focus on the one that they're breaking towards me or I'm struggling with. Can you tell me more about this and the confusion of knowing what was most important? So we have this conversation with Jesus and the scribe. One of the scribes approached when he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well. He asked him, which command is the most important of all? That's the question. Out of these 613 separate commands that we know, which one is the most important of all, Jesus? Jesus answered him, this is the most important. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And no one dared to question him any longer. As we have this conversation, we see Jesus referencing a very, very well-known passage to them. This is the Shema that he references to them. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5 is the saying that the Israelites would say over and over and over. Twice a day, dedicated Jewish people would repeat this every morning and every evening. They'd repeat Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, where it says, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." They'd repeat this every single day, twice a day. They knew it well. This command was, you could say, on their hearts or in their minds, consistently repeated. Jesus does add to that, with all your mind. It's interesting when you go back to Deuteronomy, that's not in there, but and then Jesus says, with all your mind, when he says this. I was reading a commentary, and it said this, no commandment is greater than these two. Because wholehearted love for God and one's neighbor is the sum and substance of the law of the prophets. To fulfill these commands is to fulfill all others. That summed it up. And they personally knew this. It was tradition. But here's the question. Did they personally know it? Was it part of their life? Was it part of reality? The scribe, when he then answers Christ and says his response about, yes, this is the greatest, Jesus, you answered correctly. And then Jesus says this about the scribe, and he says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Does that describe us? Do we know the commands? Do we know the call to love God with all we are? To love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do we know that? But is it a reality? Would Jesus say the same thing for us today, for me today, for you today, of we are not far from the kingdom of God? You see, this guy, the scribe, he knew the commands. But he did not know how far short he fell. And he didn't know his need for God's amazing grace. He didn't know that he needed to place his faith in Christ alone for salvation. And so though he had a lot of knowledge of the law, 613 different commandments that he knew well, he did not know saving grace. And so though he was close to knowing the truth, he was not quite there. And as we read in 1 John, for us to love God and for us to love others, we need to know God's love first. And so he didn't know God's love. He was so focused on commandments and so focused on tradition that he didn't know the love God had for him, and he missed the revealing of that love in Jesus Christ standing right in front of him. And so there was no way for him to truly fulfill this command of loving God with everything he was without knowing God's amazing love for him, because we can't love without God's love. As 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. What about us? Have you got to the point where your relationship with Christ is personal, where it's not based on tradition, where it's not based on commandment, where you follow the commandments because of your love for God, not to earn the love of God? Or are we at the point where we have divided alliances, divided allegiances? Do you know how far short you fall of the glory of God? How far short you fall of the commandments of God, of the standards of God, that you need the grace of God, and only through the grace of God can you love God. Do we know that? And have we developed a love for God that is talked about here? A love for God that is with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength? Or are we more like the passage we read in Isaiah, where it says, the Lord says to them, these people approach me with their speeches to honor me with their lip service, yet their hearts are far from me. And human rules direct their worship of me. Is your worship of God directed by a love for God, or is it directed by a human tradition, a human rule? It's great questions. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to dig into this. We're going to look at each area. We're going to look at our love, or all-in love for God with our heart, or all-in love with our soul, with our mind, and with our strength. And we're going to ask the question and hopefully answer the question, are we, or are you, or am I all in? What does it mean to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and my strength? Today was just an introduction. Today was just raising the question, do I really love God? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and so many times we get into it and there's challenge after challenge after challenge, and there's also encouragement after encouragement after encouragement. Lord, we can know love. We can love you because you first loved us. Lord, help us to understand your amazing love for us, that you would sacrifice your life for us, Jesus, on the cross. And Lord, help us to respond to that. Help us to know that you are our only hope because we fall so short of your standard. But grace is available in you. Salvation is available in you, Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us. Help us to know your love so that we can then in turn love you and love others like you have called us to. Over the next several weeks, Lord, we pray. And Lord, there's no other way for us to know this. And so we desperately pray and ask you, Lord, that you will help us to know what it means to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. And in the end, we can say, I love you, God. Not because of tradition, not because of command. I love you, God, because you first loved me. Lord, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for just the opportunity to come and to worship you, to get into your word together. I pray you'll challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.